This is Ozarks at Large. When Michelle Norris began a project about discussing race in America, she didn't know what she might find. The co-host of NPR's All Things Considered discovered stories from her own family she'd never heard. A grandmother who toured across the country as the personification of the commercial character Aunt Jemima. She also learned her father had been shot by a white policeman during a scuffle in post-war Alabama. The result of her work is her new memoir, The Grace of Silence, an often touching recollection of growing up in Minnesota, watching her parents lead separate lives, and her own research into her family's history. Michelle Norris, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
It's great to be here.
You had an idea of what you wanted to pursue when you started this project, but it quickly took a turn, didn't it, when you began to find out these stories about your family?
Yes, a sharp left turn. I started writing a book about the hidden conversation on race in America. It was following the 2008 election, and I was convinced that there was this interesting and robust conversation that was often out of earshot. It was taking place in private places, and I wanted to listen in and write a series of essays about what I heard. But when I started listening very intently to the conversation in my own family, I learned a series of profound secrets. And I thought that maybe these would be anecdotes in the book that I was originally intending to write, but over time they just got up on my back and they wouldn't let go. And it became sort of my grand obsession, and I realized fairly deep into the process that I was writing the wrong book. And so I switched gears and changed course and decided to go where my curiosity would take me to try to learn more about what I had learned and to learn more about my racial legacy, and in doing so learn more about this country's racial history.
The episode with your father when he was shot in Alabama was something that was rarely mentioned in any part of your family. It was almost a secret.
Well, it was never mentioned in my household. I mean, I grew up with my father, of course, and stayed with my father when my mother and father divorced. I was very close to his family. He's from Birmingham, Alabama. I spent a lot of time in Birmingham, almost every summer in my youth, going down to visit my grandparents. He had five brothers. There were six sons from Birmingham. All of them had moved north. I was very close to all of them, very close to my cousins, and never heard a word of this. And, you know, nor did my mother. I mean, my mother was married to my father for several years before they were divorced in the late 70s. They remained good friends even after their divorce, and she never heard of this. So she learned this, you know, at the same time that I did. So it was something that he put away, and I wanted to understand not just what happened, but why he put that secret away, and then what that meant for me, and what that kind of what those secrets mean for all of us, because our story is not unique in that sense. Families have secrets. And a lot of times when parents go through difficulties, they don't necessarily want to talk about those difficulties with their children. And I realize that particularly when it comes to that thorny period in America where we as a country were trying to figure out, you know, how to deal with integration and how to dispense with segregation and how to figure out how to live with each other. It was a very painful period. And a lot of people on both sides of the color line moved forward and just stopped talking about it, didn't share those stories. So I was trying to explore my own story, but I was also trying to figure out what America was going through at that time and how much we really don't know, even now, about that period before the civil rights era. We think of it as marches and everyone singing We Shall Overcome in this sort of truncated period in the late 1960s. But there was an awful lot that happened before that that is missing from our history books and missing from our memory banks.
And it's no more realized than when you talk to a woman you had never met before, Julia Beaton.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about walking on Sunday at church to or from and people throwing rotten fruit. And she... There is a lot of that unknown history that you found out by talking to her.
Yeah. Julia Beaton lived a few doors down from my grandparents on Avenue G in Birmingham. And her older brother, John, was actually with my father the night that he was shot in that scuffle with Alabama police officers. And what she was talking about was my grandparents, my Grandpa Belvin and my Grandma Fanny walking home from a church revival. They attended a church that was not far from their home, and they were walking home and they were wearing all white. And Julia remembers very vividly and very deeply, because this was a very painful experience for her, even though she only watched it, a group of a car full of young men, she said. She thought they were maybe teenagers, maybe young adults. And they threw rotten tomatoes at my grandparents, who were dressed in white from head to toe. And Julia, in talking about that, was you could hear her trembling. And you could feel her rage in just remembering it. And you could also feel her pain. And it's something that obviously still lives inside her. And it was really something for me to hear that, because my father, having been through his experience, never revealed that kind of rage to me. And I'm you know, not sure that if it did live inside of him, I never saw that. And so she's in the book in part because she spoke so honestly and so candidly about her pain. But she's also there to show through, I guess, the juxtaposition of those experiences, how different people choose to move forward. And one of the things that was so amazing to me about my father and this generation of veterans that were marginalized in the military and sometimes brutalized when they returned from war is that they had lots of reasons to be angry at the world and very disappointed in their country. And instead of moving forward with anger, they decided to step forward with hope and ambition, and they tried to pass that hope and that ambition on to their children. They didn't want the next generation to be weighed down with anger and to be disappointed in a country that they still believed in. And that's where that title comes from, The Grace of Silence, because it takes a lot of grace and a good deal of fortitude to do something like that, to put away your own emotions for the benefit of your children.
And for a project that began that was going to explore discussions about race, what I come away with after reading The Grace of Silence is there are still a lot of discussions we're not having.
Oh, well, you know, race is something that's hard to talk about. It's not easy for all kinds of reasons. We sometimes are afraid of saying the wrong thing. It's a difficult history in this country, and we're afraid of opening that door because you just don't know what's going to fall out. And we expect, I think, in a lot of ways, particularly after the 2008 election, that there's going to be some grand national conversation. And I come away from this project with a very strong belief that the most productive conversations about race don't take place in public spaces. And if everyone is expecting us to have a big national conversation where we all sit down at 4 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon and all talk about race at the same time, you know, that's just never going to work for all kinds of reasons. But if people talk about it in more private settings, in the workspace, at their own kitchen table, with someone that you know and trust, I think it's possible to have an open, meaningful, productive conversation. And sometimes that conversation is going to be painful, particularly if people are really, truly honest mm-hmm. about their beliefs or their experiences. But it's worth it, and that's where the fortitude comes on, to stay at that table, even if someone says something that you don't believe in or someone says something to you that maybe is offensive, to try to stay at the table and understand where they're coming from.
The name of the book is The Grace of Silence. Michelle Norris, thank you so much for your time.
Good to be with you. Thanks so much.